I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Guardians are going to October, and it's a wonderful day yesterday. Mitch was in the clubhouse yesterday, taking it all in. Guardians are going to October, and I think what the best thing I think I heard Stephen Vogt say was something that we talked about back in May, where he was talking about when there was Austin Hedges, and they were talking about how they take every single game as a postseason game or trying to make the postseason. Lima, you had wondered, well, can you have that type of outlook? And for a moment, it looked like that was going to go up and catch him in August. It was highlighted when they had that series against Minnesota, which turned into a four-game series earlier, I think last month, where they lost that doubleheader. And it was a chance for Minnesota to kind of take over the lead in the Central Division. The Guardians won the final two of that and then kind of went along their way for the rest of this season. But to hear him say, I thought that that was incredible when he's talking about basically, you know, if you're thinking about not thinking about World Series, then don't bother coming. Hit that again.
It really is just believing you can do it. You know, we didn't know what we had. I didn't know what guys were capable of what. And until you see them play, you really don't know. But if you come to spring training and you're not expecting to win the World Series, don't come.
Boy, he summed up the problem with about 20 franchises, did he not?
Only 20?
Maybe more. Maybe more. And honestly, I think some people would probably over the last, I mean, they went to the World Series in 2016, 17, they got close, and obviously you had the fall apart against the Yankees. I think some people maybe over the last couple of years are wondering, you know, are we one of those teams that are thinking about such a thing? And Stephen Vogt was definitely thinking those sort of things. And I think that when you get young guys playing together for a process to believe in that and then to actually have it come together, I think that that's why we saw him get emotional earlier this week. So he has got to be as close to the perfect guy at the perfect time as you could find in professional sports. Forget baseball. I mean, professional sports, I don't know if I've seen something kind of take shape this quickly where, you know, there was things that were said. I do remember his last at-bat because the kids were doing the PA and things like that. And this is a future manager in baseball, but you don't really think of that level. And there's so many guys that come in with so much promise and they fall apart and they look like hell and they got to get it figured out again and maybe they go on and maybe have a little bit of success. This is an outstanding job by him. An outstanding job by the team, don't get me wrong, but an outstanding job by Stephen.
We had no reason to have any inkling of what this was going to be like. When he was hired, I think we might have done 5 minutes on it. I mean, honestly, it might have been in about last night. Hey, we hired a new manager. That was it. Because we had no idea what kind of intel were we really going to get. Even the people that had covered him throughout his career, okay, what translates to whether or not you're going to be a manager? And oh, by the way, you're taking over for somebody like Tito, who is revered here and is somebody with the resume that, you know, 99.9% of major league managers would only aspire to be able to get. And so he takes over this team. There were zero expectations. Nobody, when the season started, was anybody thinking, hey, this is a team that can make a World Series run?
No.
I mean, even if you're the biggest homer, what proof of concept did you have? And if anything, we were wondering, man, all that stuff that Tito just kind of buttoned up and took care of behind the scenes and making sure to get through the gauntlet of a season. Now we don't know. We have no idea if all those little tricks of the trade that he had, you know, picked up over time and had learned over time. Now we're starting from scratch with a rookie manager who's going to go through rookie mistakes. Well, what were those rookie mistakes? I mean, when they lost 6 of 8 during that stretch you talked about in August?
There were a few there, the 6-8, the 7-game losing streak.
Every
once in a while there's a pitch hitting thing that people don't agree with.
Was that a rookie mistake, or was that what every other team goes through in a baseball season?
Yes, I think that that's probably what everybody else goes through. Like if anybody watches you for 162 games, or, you know, the average fan, if they're a really strong fan, they're watching for 60 full games of a season. I think that you're always going to find something to pick apart. It's the adage of what you've said, which I think rings true and true every year. If a person is a manager or a head coach for a long enough time, you're always going to find a reason to not like them It's just whether or not you think that they're good for the overall health of the organization, whoever they have. And I think that you bringing up how about the guys who have been around in the NFL for a long time. There's guys who just hate them no matter what, even though they're very successful. A game, a season lasts like a lifetime. So there's what you think of a manager in may not be what you think of a manager in September. And I think that overall, like we got to the decade of Terry Francona, and he did. He became, I think he became kind of a security blanket for those who weren't paying that close of attention. I think at times my attention waned because I figured that Terry Francona would cover everything, and I was allowed to just kind of take a little bit easy here and there. When Stephen Vogt came in, I wanted to see what he was going to do right, what he was going to do wrong, and not be a jerk about it, but you know, you got to be critical about these things. But I thought he did a fantastic job, obviously, and I was really buoyed by the job he was doing earlier in the season, and I'm glad that that's continued. I'm glad that they didn't run out of steam. They kept it going, and this year, where you don't have a 100-game winner, and you're not going to have a 100-game winner, I think it goes to show you just how open it is and how much of a chance they really do have.
I don't know that it is really sunk in to a lot of fans, and maybe they still need more time.
I don't think it has.
I don't think it's sunk in that this team has a chance to make a World Series run. I really don't think our community, even the diehards.
I don't know if they'll let themselves think that. I think it's different.
I don't know what it is, because I haven't felt, anytime I've asked anybody, and I've asked, hey, do you think this team can make a run? Everyone's like, well, it's baseball. That's the first thing out of their mouths. It's not like, hell yeah, this team can win the World Series. Hell yeah, this team can get, you know, through the AL and get to the World Series and vie for a championship, something we haven't done since 1948. Like, I haven't heard that. I wonder if that starts to change. I wonder if now that we're here, they didn't cough up the lead. In fact, now they're expanding the lead. They didn't let, you know, the Yankees run away with the one seed. In fact, they could still battle it out for the one seed. They're already looking like them and the bye on a collision course. Yeah. They're going to get there.
It's down to three.
So
the magic number, as you said.
Now you can start to wrap your arms around that possibility.
Well, it's a half game with the Yankees right now for the best record in the AL.
It's just absolutely amazing. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the times, all right, maybe there was this moment and this moment here or there with Vogt. I mean, the reality is that you only remember the games you cough up. Nobody ever gives the manager the credit for the games you win, and then you store that in your memory banks and say, hey, way back, hey, do you remember that in May when he won that game? Nobody remembers that. So
Easier to put a vote. I've learned this season it's much easier to put a loss on vote than it is to put a win on vote.
Right, yeah.
Because you want to give the players the credit for the win.
Absolutely. You went through that exercise, you know, earlier in the year. So I just think overall, overarching viewpoint, and we talk about this all the time, about where to set expectations for given teams, and we've had Cleveland teams with amazing expectations. I still think to this day, there's nothing better than surpassing expectations. There's nothing better than a team that overachieves. And this team has flat out overachieved, and they've done it the whole year, and they've probably been so under the radar for around baseball. It's funny, though. Lately, like Peter Gammons, Buster Olney over the last week.
Oh, you know Buster
Olney. The stuff
Olney
that
them.
They are saying about the Guardians, I wish the people here would understand what the viewpoint is outside of Cleveland for your baseball team.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
outside of Cleveland, they don't sit there every day and talk about ownership, and they don't talk about, oh, the trade deadline, why wouldn't the Dolans spend this? But like, they don't do that. Instead, what they focus on, the people that are around the game every day and know how baseball really works and know about how the disparity between the haves and the have-nots, and they just don't find it that interesting anymore. They talk about what a great organization you have. They talk about what a great job Vogt has done. They talk about Antonetti, Chernoff, how this team is a model for all franchises in sports, not just baseball. And I feel like they get overlooked here all the time. And now it's time to understand this team can make a World Series run. You better not overlook them. If you do so, you're going to miss out. Because well, if you haven't had fun with this team this year, you have missed out.
Well, I've had a blast. It's been almost a renaissance of watching them, because I think I got a little complicit, and I think I took a little bit too much for granted over the Terry Francona years. So this was a chance where it's like, man, what are they going to do? They can go one way or the other. We can turn to the Pirates real quickly here, or we can be still the steadfast franchise that gives themselves a chance. Now they're the steadfast franchise that gives themselves a chance. However, the other issue is going to be, is exactly what you said, is where are people going to put their feelings at? Because if you're a 38-year-old Clevelander and you're going into work today, I mean, you've seen this team go to the World Series three times. You've seen them go to the seventh or extras a couple of times and end up not winning the World Series. So I do think that some people, like, I think that some people might be holding back on their feelings, even if they're a baseball first fan. Even if they're a baseball first, it's almost where they hold back on their feelings, because, like, for the young guys here, for Junkenzie Noel and the names we bring up all the time, this is their first foray into this. If you are a longtime Cleveland sports fan, all right, you've been to the postseason, what, 13 times since 1995. You've been to the World Series three times. You have a crack at the World Series this year. But I don't think anybody, I think people are hopeful. They're hopeful. But I don't think they're going to start speaking, I don't think they're going to be cocky. I don't think they're going to be overly, they're going to be excited, but they're not going to let anybody know about it. I think it's going to be a very speak softly and carry a big stick type feeling with a lot of fans because of that history that gets brought in, because they want to see it. They want to feel it. They want to have that opportunity. Optimism, they, right? Yes, yeah. It's a cop. I really don't like to use the term, but it is cautious optimism in so many ways. So yeah, I think that so many people are like, man, this is great. You've done a great job. You've had a great season. You deserve this type of season, but there's still more to go. And I think they're quiet about that future. Yes,
Ken, I hate doing it, but I want to give you credit for something you said on June 5th.
Yeah,
on June 5th.
I don't know what
comparing. Stephen Vogt and Terry Francona and the job that Stephen Vogt had done when they were 40-20. And that was, we've talked about Lima, like they started off 20 games over and they've just kind of maintained there, but it's been enough to keep them in the position that they're in. This is what you said, Ken, take a listen to yourself. I know you hate listening to yourself. Listen to yourself.
In the small sample size that I've seen this year, I've seen changes. I'm not saying Stephen Vogt's better than Terry Francona. Don't assign that opinion to me. But you can't tell me that to the general fan, if you were clicking around and you wanted to see baseball, like, this is more interesting. I want to see something that's interesting here. You know, before it was bunts and people get mad and in much more conservatism, and I'm not seeing that as much. I'm just not seeing it as much. You know, Terry Francona did a great job. He's the second best manager of any style in probably Cleveland history. But I'm seeing what Stephen Vogt did, and now I'm looking at it and go, okay, maybe it's time to get into a new era. That's all I'm saying.
I saw some piling on. Thank you very much for giving me some credit. I saw some piling on though last night, and I wanted to avoid it as much as I could today.
What do you mean?
There's some people who were going, I told you we needed to get rid of that old man.
You and said on that day, though, that you thought that the Guardians would not be in this position Terry Francona.
No, I don't think they would. I can't sit there and deny the truth. No.
And I don't know if they would be where they are right now with Terry Francona, too.
I'm not trying to be nasty.
Well,
what
exactly are you guys basing that on? I mean, Terry was amazing.
It felt
Terry had a bunch of incredible regular seasons.
He had a bunch of incredible regular seasons.
What's different about this year's roster than last year's roster? Or 2 years ago's roster. There's not a ton. Who's the guys that are standing out?
The dominant pitchers? Like,
guys.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, what is batting wise, like who's hitting any different right now than they were 2 years ago?
There is.
Kwan got off to the great start when they were 20 games.
280.
There's two.
Right. And then they started. Then they started losing games. Like, I think we're getting a little silly just piling on Tito right now.
No, this is not. I'm trying not to.
I don't think we have to compare and contrast. The benefit of having Tito was, my God, did that guy. And then 2016 and 2017, I didn't think was Tito's fault at all. But 2016, what he was able to do with that postseason run, like, we have no idea if Vogt can do that, and we're hoping. But I don't know how you look at this regular season and determine one's better than the other. I think we can just enjoy this season without having to do that.
One's a Hall of Famer. The other one is, this is what we do. We do sports talk, so we are going to compare and contrast. That's what happens.
Yeah, but why do you feel the need to do it with this team right now? Like, why
they're the team in the playoffs.
But why do you assume Tito could not? That's what I'm not understanding, why you assume Tito couldn't have done this.
I just said I wanted to avoid it in the opening segment. He played the audio. That's what I just said. I just said I wanted to avoid it.
Yeah. What are you getting mad about?
You're asking me why I played the audio. Are you talking about the proverbial you, or are you talking about me? Because I didn't set out to make the comparison today.
No,
did not.
You guys both said you didn't think Tito could do that with this team. And I'm like, absolutely he could have.
No, I don't believe so. Not in 2024.
I think the proof's in the pudding that if he could do it, he would have done it in 21.
I got two reasons for it.
In 23.
One is the approach of the plate. They have spoken about that. That is a philosophical deal, to the point where they were frustrated with Andrés Giménez and his approach at the plate because they felt he was being a little bit timid, which is oddly enough the guy who knocked in the run to put them into the postseason. The other part of it is, and this is not fair, and it's not Terry Francona's fault, is that, you have a manager who was with them the entire year this year. I mean, that's all there is to it. I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm not trying to be nasty or a downer on anything. That's why I kind of want to avoid
Tito's
it today.
Tito's health was obviously a huge, really not just the last, year.
And I think
the last 5 years.
I think that had a considerable
effect on them. If Tito was healthy and able to be around the team every year, hell yeah, he could. In fact, I think fans would probably be more optimistic about the team this year in the postseason Tito until they see it with Vogt.
That was my big reason. That was my big reason. If you have a manager that can't manage everything because the things are outside of his power, well, then you're going to have situations. That's the only thing I mean by that. That's why I think that some of the stuff that's being said online, is unfair. And I did want to avoid that. But if you are watching the way that they've gone and they made their approaches this year, it is a much more aggressive approach. And I think it's done them better at the plate. Sometimes it's cost them more. I mean, Josh Naylor swings out of his shoes, but it's cost them more. But either way, it's been a fantastic regular season. They still got a week left. There's 6.5 games ahead in the AL Central, which it puts their magic number down to 3, courtesy of Joe Noga of Cleveland.com, and of course of Owen, who reads them off to us. So we got a little bit of work left to go. I don't know if I'd take them to win tonight against the Cardinals. I don't know. It was day drinking last night.
It was yesterday. That was the good and the bad of it. By 4 o'clock, we were celebrating. Hopefully, everybody got on to St. Louis. And
it's a good point.
Well, I mean, let me come back to that. Anheuser-Busch there.
That's another. All right.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.